Hey, welcome to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jimmy Carboni from Jimmy's Number 43 in the Good Beer Seal. Today is Tuesday, February 16th, 2016. On the show, along with our winter co-host, Ann Becerra, we're excited to have Italy's Andy Monticelli, Jamie Adams from St. James Brewery, and this new guy. What's your name?
Hey, I'm Fred Avila. I'm from Italy Birria in New York City.
So we've got a lot going on in New York this week. We're getting ready for New York City Beer Week. And we're going to be talking also about things like opening a brewery on Long Island and wastewater and farm to pint and all this other stuff. But Andy, you have a special announcement to make because New York City Beer Week is kicking off this Friday. And first of all, if you tune in live to Heritage Radio Network at 12 o'clock on Friday, Ann and I will be here with four New York City brewers doing an official New York City Beer Week kickoff on the air.
That's right. New York City Beer Week kicks off with Simultap on Friday, but the opening bash is on Saturday, and it's a boat cruise this year. So you can go to NewYorkCityBrewersGuild.com for details, but there's a code you can use. Each brewery has its own code, but you can use the code EATALY for $15 off for a ticket. There's two sessions.
All right. Thanks, Andy. But yeah, definitely New York City Beers Week coming up. We've talked about it a lot. I know you got some things going on at Taproom 307, Ann.
Yeah, Monday night is going to be very, very lovely. 40 taps, two casks, all New York beer.
And we've got our New York City Brewers Choice. There's still some tickets left, NewYorkCityBrewersChoice.com. But, you know, the reason we're here and why there's a Beer Week is underneath it all, there's some great beers being made in the region, and there's great stories. So today we're going to talk about Jamie from St. James out in Long Island. He's had some struggles opening a brewery on Long Island. And Fred is going to talk about what it's like having a rooftop birreria in the wintertime. But tell us about that, Fred. I mean, so you guys are on the rooftop, and you guys are still making beer in the winter, but what's going on up there on the top of Italy?
Well, you know, it's a lot of fun. The last few years, we've had kind of trouble sort of finding our footing during the wintertime because, as everyone is familiar with our place, we're pretty rocking in the summertime. We have an open roof, a retractable roof, but the problem with that is a lot of people think that it's always open. You know, they don't take into account the fact that, hey, it rains and also snows in New York City and it gets cold. So this year we did something called Baita, sort of a pop-up. Not sort of, it is a pop-up. Kind of a Italian Alpine-themed restaurant. So it's sort of analogous to visiting a ski lodge minus the skiing, you know? I'm not a big skier. I have a lot of friends who are skiers, and to me they tell me, it seems that the funnest part about skiing is actually when you're done skiing, you head over to the lodge.
So Bittery is open in the winter. You're going to be open for New York City Beer Week.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
And later in the show, we're going to taste some of your beers. But James, let's cut to the chase, man. Jamie, I want to call you James, but... St. James Brewery. Ann, how did you meet Jamie? Because I know you invited him on the show tonight.
Yeah, Jamie was actually a regular of mine at the Ginger Man for years.
That's true.
Before this opened, before St. James got started, and was homebrewing and just very, very passionate, and it just kind of relationship developed, and now I'm really excited to see what he's doing. His beers are awesome.
Well, thank you very much, Ann. I appreciate that. It's true. We had a Ginger Man pub.
Jim, what was your mission? So you told me earlier that you tried to open a brewery on Long Island. Some of the struggles you had to go through.
Well, opening a brewery, as everybody knows, has got a lot of different parts to it. And one of the big parts is wastewater management. And on Long Island, it's a big issue for us as an island, of course. And we really have to, as brewers, get on the same page where we're on an even keel. For us... We're a farm brewery, and we play, in a sense, the same rules as big, large industrial breweries. Nothing takes into account where we treat our wastewater, how we compost our spent grains or our hops. It's just assumed that we're dumping them down the drain. So that poses a problem for us in terms of how we have to approach our brewing style. We are what's called a New York State farm brewery. It's a certified designation that's given to breweries that use a certain amount of New York State grown ingredients. For us, we try and use as much as possible. If it's 100%, that's our goal. And with that, it's a cycle. Not only do we use the ingredients, but after we brew our ales, our grains are composted and go back into our gardens and, you know, the wastewater is actually collected and then used in various ways, either to use them in our heat extraction or just to go back into the garden again.
You know, Fred and Andy, for you guys, you know, being in the city, I mean, you're on the top of a building, you've got a small brewery. I mean, do you have to deal with any issues of wastewater, anything like that? I know you guys have like a real green, strong green program at Eataly.
Yeah, you know, we try to, you know, we're part of the whole slow food movement, you know, local producers, that whole deal. And where we can, we try to minimize all our waste. In the past, we've sort of shipped, not sort of, we shipped our spent grain over to producers who fed it to their livestock. Then in turn, they would sell us their livestock, use it in our plates. Most recently, we've been using our spent grain down in our bakery. Once we brew, we set aside a certain portion, bring it down to the guys. And they'll make breads, cookies that we'll put on sale down in the marketplace.
Great. And Andy, anything else you want to say about green practices at Eataly?
Yeah, no, I think that from top to bottom, we try and be as environmentally friendly as possible. So.
Yeah. Jamie, what beer are we drinking right now? I want to call you James, man.
You can call me James.
Yeah, Jamie, why'd you call it St. James Brewery?
My dad was named James, and my name is named obviously my name is James. They call me Jamie because of that reason, but we named it St. James Brewery because we make Belgian style ales, and we wanted to have some connotation to the Belgian and the monastic, I guess you should say, the traditions that are there using there, and we wanted people to know that. That's what we focus on. That's what we do. So, St. Bernard.
You know. Did you get any pushback from the very famous St. James Gate Brewery?
Not yet. Not yet. Thank you. Thank you.
Where's that?
Yeah. No.
Guinness.
Yeah, Guinness is St. James's Gate. So it's no, we haven't. And there's actually a couple of other breweries out there that are using the Saint, Saint this or Saint that. So. It's going to be interesting to see coming up what happens on that front as a whole. We could talk a whole other show about the the legalese of it.
Let's ask this guy. So at Birreria, years ago when you guys started, we had one of your brewers, Brooks, on. Mm-hmm. What I loved about what you were doing, because this is like, you know, Long Island, it's like small farm brewery, you know, pint to beer. And we'll talk
farm
about
to pint.
That. Farm to pint, thank you. You guys always have this Italian and kind of American connection. And tell us about how you guys got started at Birreria.
Well, the Birreria is actually a collaboration brewery between Dogfish Head, Beardo Borgo, and Baladen. Baladen is near Torino, where Eataly opened in 2007. And Del Borgo is closer to Rome in Borgo Rosse. So the three of them are good friends. And when Eataly NYC was going to open, they all talked and thought having a brewery project on the rooftop restaurant would be really fun. So we do our best to represent Italian craft beer, which is really booming now, along with American craft beer.
All right. And Jamie, what's the beer that we're drinking?
The beer that we're drinking right now is called Rochelle Blanche. It's our Belgian-style wit beer. It's made entirely, I should say it's 99% New York State-grown ingredients. We use a slight bit of orange peel from California just to give it a little bit of citrus flavor, but it contains oats that are grown upstate. All New York State grown in malted barley and wheat. And we use a noble hop from a farm in Wading River, Long Island, called Kinsella Farms. Fourth generation farmers. They've been farming the land since the mid-1800s. They do everything from strawberries to vegetables. And, we really promote the farmers that we work with. And, for everybody listening out there, we want you to go visit them and to go see the little gems that you've got all across both Long Island and upstate New York. And, we work with Kinsella Farms. We out on the east end, there's Briarmere Farms as well, Sujecki Farms, where we get a lot of our other ingredients from. We also work with apiaries, honey farmers, like Promised Land Apiaries in Mattituck, where they're doing a very local, unique, artisanal. They're creating a lot of endeavors that are going beyond just making the honey or
the honey.
Yeah, whatever it might be, the honey or the fruit there.
You guys have used other ingredients, from those farmers as well, like fruits. Sorry, you
have
their apple ale on at mm-hmm. Taproom.
There's an orchard in Northport called Richter's Orchards. Again, another third generation family farm. And they have apple orchards there, rows and rows of apple trees. It's a great place.
So it's farm to pint, not pint to farm.
Farm to pint. Yeah. Well, pint to farm, I guess.
Speaking of family farms, we're going to talk about family farms. There's a plate of cheese in front of us that I'm like drooling over.
Really?
On a family farm.
That's what that is, cheese.
Right.
Andy, did you bring that cheese in?
I did. So this cheese is actually made on my family's farm in Abruzzo, Italy. They're actually about 40 minutes from the Beardo Borgo Brewery as well, so I've been there many times. So Abruzzo is a wonderful mountainous region. Their village is called Anversa degli Abruzzi. It's about an hour and a half east of Rome, and my family, the Italian Marcellis, have been in that village since the 1600s.
That's great, man.
Yeah, so they're predominantly a sheep farm. They have 1,300 sheep. They're using an ancient breed that's indigenous to Abruzzo called Sopraffazzana. They are very low milk yielding, and they have a wonderful diet of lovely locally grown, obviously all over the land that they're eating.
What am I just eating? This is
which one?
So perfect with the, I want to call it Rochelle from Seinfeld.
You could.
The Rochelle Blanc.
Which one did you grab?
This one. It's a little semi-firm that cut one? Into triangle. Mm-hmm.
So you're eating the Pecorino di Parco. That is their kind of flagship cheese. It's their mountain-style Pecorino. That's the cheese they make the most of. And then afterwards, they make a ricotta. Actually, they make a few different ricottas, which we're going to try two of them.
It's perfect with the beer.
Yeah. Andy, how did you? So when did you start doing this?
Well, our family has been, you know, our cousins are the ones who own the farm and make the cheese. They've been doing that for decades. But we first visited them about 15 years ago, I think now. But my father and I, he really fell in love with it. You know, my family are they're all chefs. My dad, you know, has been connected with food and working in food for, you know, 40 years. And he just fell in love with what they were doing and the place and all the other products. So he called me. You know, I wasn't on that trip, but he called me and said he wanted to figure out how to bring it to the United States. So we've been doing that for about, you know, almost 10 years now.
Andy, we might be cousins. My grandmother's from Scano, Abruzzo.
Exactly. So that's about 20 minutes away. Scano is speaking of Baita, Scano is very well known for skiing. So there's lots of great mountains and little ski areas in Abruzzo.
That's great, man. It's a small world. I've known you for several years, and I always think of you as Birreria because you always represent, talking about New York City Beer Week, you represent Birreria as one of the New York City breweries.
Mm-hmm.
But you have many hats then.
I do. Actually, my first job at Eataly was the local buyer. So after importing these products with my dad, you know, first our family's cheeses, then dry pasta, olive oil, honey, all things from Abruzzo, from small family-owned producers. You know, I started working at Eataly when it opened and was sourcing a lot of the local products that we were using and selling. So I just used kind of what I had learned by working with my family and, you know, trying to bring the terroir of Abruzzo to the U.S., use the same, you know, to identify, you know, which local producers we should be working with. And then I got into beer and really got really into beer when the Birreria opened and Brooks, who was our first brewer, came over and we became good friends. We worked together really closely. You know, I did a lot of the ingredient sourcing and ordering for him. And and ever since then, just been beer, 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 beer. So I've been, you know.
Well, you guys, the Eataly thing's cool. Like, I know Brooks grew up in Arkansas, mm-hmm. Then his family moved to Rome, and he grew up in Rome, and he was working with who, Del Bordigo?
Yep, and he's actually, now he lives in Australia, and he works for, he's a brewer at Nomad, which is a Beardo Borgo brewery, partner brewery in Australia, in Manly. He walks to, you know, every
now
day.
Now you got some really cool people there at Eataly and Birreria, and it's fun talking about beer and cheese. You know, we got our new engineer out there, David. David, we're going to take a short break. We'll be back in a few minutes on Beer Sessions Radio. All right.
This is so good.
In 1996, L. Knife & Son acquired Union Beer Distributors, which was originally located on Union Avenue in Brooklyn, but has since expanded to its present location alongside the English Kills Canal in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. Union Beer has grown dramatically in the last decade as the primary distributor of Anheuser-Busch products for Kings County, Brooklyn, through the hiring and development of the best people in the industry. In 2003, Union Beer acquired a powerful catalog of specialty brands, which immediately positioned them as the craft beer supplier to accounts in Manhattan, Brooklyn, Queens, and Staten Island. Union perpetually tweaks their portfolio to maintain the highest level of stylistic breadth with the most coveted brands available. Through the highest possible level of service, outstanding salesmanship of the ultimate lineup of brands, and a paramount focus on education on all levels, Union Beer has solidified its position as the only source for the best selection of beers in the 14 counties of southeastern New York. For more information, visit greatbrewers.com.
So we're not going to introduce right away. Let's just, we're going to keep doing what we're doing, and then we'll work you guys in, okay?
Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. All right. We've got some, a lot of people in the studio today. And who else is – you put this show together, so tell us why you invited everybody, because it's kind of like a New York City Beer Week preview. It's like local beer and food.
Yeah, well, I think that the idea of local beer and food and all of this is great, but I think it's that mentality of, you know, really knowing where your food comes from, you know, what you're eating, what you're drinking. So we have Jamie from St. James Brewery, Andy and Fred from Bavaria, and Andy as well from Marcelli Formaggi. And I think a lot of the mentality is the same, you know, using good ingredients, knowing your purveyors, knowing where it comes from. And it's a perfect segue because now we're going to start drinking a beer from
Well, this is what
Bavaria.
We like. And, you know, talking about, we're not going to comment on large brewery acquisitions and regional brewery combinations. There's a different place for that. But we're talking more about focus on the local small guys. So we do love that St. James is this little guy out in Long Island. And you guys are this little brewery on top of a...
We're a 3.5-barrel brewery on a rooftop of Manhattan.
Yeah. So what's the first beer that you're... This is the first Birreria beer I've had in quite a while.
Sure. Yeah, I can't emphasize tiny brewery. We're exceedingly tiny. This is Gina. Gina essentially is a pretty basic pale ale, dry hopped with thyme. And if you're familiar with thyme, if you had it in dishes, it's very apparent on the palate and on the nose.
Can you talk a little about the cask condition, too? I don't think people realize
Yeah. In addition to being this very, very tiny brewery, we're also, as far as I know, if anybody knows otherwise, please correct me, we're the only all-cask ale brewery in the United States.
You only make cask
ale? Only cask ale, yeah. So it's sort of like being a first-time home brewer in terms of professional brewing because you're not kegging beer. You're sort of like bottling conditioning beer, but in this case...
You can only also sell on premise, right?
Yeah, that's it. Very small.
The only way you can get your beer is to go to Beer Sessions.
Absolutely.
Or come on Beer Sessions.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, if you see me, just sort of...
That's why Josh, our buddy, we got some listeners out there. Josh came up from Georgia, his buddy Jason. So we're gonna have a cool show going
cool,
on.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So,
all right, so what cheese are we having this with? Because the herbs and the flavor from this is just to die for, I can imagine.
You know, the first time we had, when you guys first opened, your brewer Brooks came on.
Yep.
As I said, he was from Arkansas, grew up in Rome,
yep.
And he had a really funny way of pronouncing English. So he's served us this beer, and he kept saying it's thyme.
Yeah, oh, yes,
thyme.
I remember that. yeah, so we're trying ricotta pasita. So it's a... raw. So all the cheeses are raw milk cheeses. This is a raw sheep's milk cheese that's aged and then rubbed with the local herbs, the same herbs that the sheep are eating. So they, you know, our family says there's about 100 different wild herbs and flowers growing around the mountains where the sheep are grazing. So this is rubbed with olive oil, thyme, rosemary, and peppercino. So it has a little bit of heat to it.
Is it thyme or thyme?
It's thyme.
What do they say in Italy?
It's time to eat some cheese and drink some beer. yeah, so I thought it would be fun to put these two together, considering, you know, herb on herb.
It's perfect. It actually makes the beer pop even more, if that's possible.
James, what do you feel about cask ales? I mean, it's a different body and
We do cask ales not often, but we do them. I enjoyed it. It's obviously more of an English style, a way of presenting the ale, but love to do it on cask. Our casks, honestly, are a bit more carbonated. I'm always the guy in the cask ale festival with the, you know, shooting the but we want it that way. We do because we that
because is it cask conditioned? Is that
yes.
Why you have carbonation? Are you adding carbonation?
It's cask conditioned, but we bring it to a higher level of carbonation. And we want that acetic acid. We want those acetic flavors to come through, like in the wit beer here. These are all bottle conditioned as well. All of the bottles that we do are bottle conditioned because we want that acids, those acetic acids to come through.
And you use your own yeast, right? You guys cultivate your own house yeast?
That's correct. We have our own house yeast strain that we derived from a Belgian strain about 8 years ago. And it's really served us well. It's a workhorse. It produces a lot of different flavors based upon the ingredients that we're putting in. So, and you'll see in just a minute when we try the double as opposed to the wit beer, same yeast strain, but you're going to get two very different
results. Jamie, how long have you been brewing, man?
I've been brewing since the early 1990s. I spent some time up in Maine at college. And
that was before the internet, right?
Before the internet.
Wow.
And a guy named Rob Todd had opened up a brewery called Allagash, and they started serving his white at a beer at a bar in Portland there called the Great Lost Bear. And I just happened to be sitting at the bar, much like the way Ann and I had met, and tried my first Allagash white back in 1995, and I was hooked. I came back to New York City, and I wanted Allagash, and I couldn't find any place that had it or a lot of beers that were anything like it. So I walked into a little homebrew shop on East 36th Street, right where the Ginger Man is now, actually, and bought a homebrew kit, and that was it.
Great. And when did you become a licensed New York State Farm Brewery?
We became a licensed New York State Farm Brewery in 2012.
Wow, man. It's a long time.
Yeah, it was a long time. Well, I had a career before this, but I was always brewing, always homebrewing, never stopped doing it, and quite honestly, it was the good fellows over at Blue Point Brewery that got me on the road to being a professional brewer.
Because how did that happen?
They just liked what we were doing. And the reason why we actually got all of our licenses together was because they invited us to do their Cask Ale Festival. And so and from there, people just asked us, you know, where are you going
to
be?
Earlier you said that you wanted to open up in Smithtown, Long Island.
That's correct.
I want you to mention municipalities, but you kind of have to. So what happened in Smithtown? You live in Smithtown. You were going to open a brewery there.
That's correct. We really were intrigued. At first, we were a microbrewery, but we were intrigued by the farm brewery license simply because we believe in the farm to pint, the farm to table mentality. We shop at farmers markets ourselves. We really try and take that tact. So it was a natural progression for us. I visited. At the time, it was every malting facility in New York State, just tasting what the malters.
So you felt there was potential to do a farm
brewery
sure.
license. I wasn't sure. I thought that there was something there, but I wasn't sure. And I just ran across a couple of them that I tried their product, and I was floored by it.
But then what happened? You were going to open in Smithtown?
Yeah.
Did you open the brewery in Smithtown?
We did not open the brewery in Smithtown. It for us, it was a daunting process because of our status as a farm brewery, but we were being treated like a much larger brewery,
What was it? I'm trying to get out of you, man. Why couldn't you open a brewery in Smithtown?
We probably, in the end, could. It's a question of dollars and cents and want and really feeling like you're wanted to be there. In my opinion, breweries and brew pubs are big drivers of revitalization or rejuvenation or even just economic viable outlets for communities. They bring dollars in so that the dollars are spent not just at their brewery, but the store next door and the store next door to them. Yeah.
It would seem to me like you're saying that they're expecting you to just go in with no regard to the environment, with no regard to how you're getting rid of these things, and that's kind of how they pinned you, and as opposed to looking at how you would actually make this more convenient.
That's correct.
But what were the issues, though, specifically?
The issues in general, and I think this is true for most breweries, is your waste. How do you dispose of your waste? How do you go about accounting for the excess or the byproduct of what you're producing? And so for us, I think we had spoken about this earlier, we compost all of our spent grains and all of our hops. So our waste was minimal. However, we are still required by law to act as if we were dumping it all down the drain.
Yeah. I've heard of some other towns and people. I know Wandering Star up in Massachusetts had a problem in one city. They ended up in another city.
I understand. You know, I really do understand from the town's point of view that they are trying to protect the environment, and that's what we're, right? I mean, that's what we're, in a sense, all about, because we are a true agricultural brewery, and we wouldn't be doing this if we really didn't believe it. However, we also need a little bit of flexibility, understanding, I'm not here, obviously, to complain at all. The towns are more than just their municipalities. We've gotten great support from a lot of different areas and a lot of the towns. And you know, going forward, it's not to say that we can't have the brewery there and it has to be industrial. That's okay. But as a farm brewery, we can have 5 off-site tasting rooms in addition to the tasting room. So we want to be part of the communities, and we want to grow with them.
So where is your brewery actually?
Our brewery is in Holbrook, which is a town. Thank you. Which is a town in Suffolk. It's a great place. We have a great facility, much more space to brew than we had previously. But it changes the dynamic of what we are. It changes it subjugates the brewing process to an industrial area.
It's more industrial area.
Rather than being a part of the farm, that symbiotic relationship between the brewery, the farm, as the material passes from one area to the next and what becomes of it, it just makes it a little bit harder for us, because now we're trucking things back and forth from the farm to the brewery.
Yeah. I hear that, man. No, and that was really interesting. I just wanted to get a chance to say that a little bit. What's the next brewery we have?
All right, so what we got here now is it's called Flip. Flip is an extra special bitter at its base beer. After that, it gets a little bit kooky. It's made with Saba, which is reduced grape must. Green cardamom.
Saba.
S-A-B-A. Green cardamom and candy ginger, excuse me. It's a bit beefy, clocks in at about 7.2% ABV.
How did you call the base beer an ESB? Like, was it brewed initially to that? Where does ESB come?
Well,
I wouldn't think this in a blind taste test in a million years. It's delicious.
Yeah, because, I mean, to be fair, like, most of the adjuncts completely obfuscate the flavors of the base beer. We use 100% ESB malt. And then I believe the yeast strain was Ringwood Ale. Yeah, but it's a fun beer. It's meant, we refer to it as a winter warmer, sort of a catch-all for nice, boozy beers to kind of warm you up in the dead of winter.
Fred, how do you guys come up with your recipes?
Well, to be fair, this recipe comes straight from Delaware, from Dolphish Head. Every now and again, from Mario, too, they actually worked together to make a recipe, and this was it. Every now and again, Sam will say, hey, let's do a dinner, and we want to do a dinner based off of this beer, and he'll shoot us a recipe.
You have the connection with your founding breweries.
But outside of that, it's just, whatever strikes our fancy, you know?
Yeah. So are those guys available? I mean, can you call up Sam Colaggio and say, Sam, I'm working on this batch of beer from your recipe, and it's not the same because I don't have the right time from Italy or something?
Essentially. it's pretty cool that way.
This is the time show.
He's not hanging out with Chris Bosch and running around,
But actually, a lot of times when we do these beers, he's there with us to brew it. So we've done a lot of fun collaboration beers with him.
What about the Italian guys? Do they come over and brew too?
Leo's been there a couple times. The brewmaster from Del Borgo, his brewmaster's also been there.
But that means you're also in the brewery, Andy, because I know you're selling cheese, you're the buyer, you're the manager at Italy, but
to me,
you're Mr. Birreria.
I've loved the rooftop project. Has been really fun to be a part of. I think working with, we're making our own beer there, but it's been a beer-focused restaurant, but, we work very closely with the managers and the kitchen team, our chef, Preston, who's actually here with us in the room. He does a great job with our menu, and we just have
a lot of
fun.
He's the chef for Birreria.
He's our head chef. Right. And actually, I was thinking about it after you asked me about things that we do to be more green. One thing that Preston is really big on is, using as much of an animal as possible. So, we have a lot of pork on our menu. We're getting a couple whole pigs a week, and, we're using it in many different ways and creative ways on our menu. So,
I love that.
Yeah.
Well, hey, David, our new engineer, we're going to take a break in a few minutes. We'll be back on Beer Sessions Radio. All right. Yeah.
This is good together.
Yeah, we're
safe.
Woo!
All right. Rappers will cease to exist if I come into a party hitting raps like this. All you superficial rappers will cease to exist if I come into a party hitting raps like this. All you superficial rappers will cease to exist if I come into a party hitting raps like this. All you superficial rappers will cease to exist if I come into a party hitting raps like this. All you superficial rappers will cease to exist.
Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. We're getting ready for New York City Beer Week. Last year, I started warming up at this time, and by like the second day of Beer Week, I think I lost my voice. So this is a good company, man. So we finally got Andrew Marcelli to admit that he's got his hand in birraria and making beer and all this other stuff, because he's been one of the faces of New York City Beer Week for a few years now.
Yeah, he's on all over their website, too. Andy, what are we eating?
All right. So, with the last beer, with the birria flip, we're having a Cacio Fiorello. So on the farm, they have on our family's farm, they have 1,300 sheep, and they also have about 400 goats. They used to have less; used to have about 200. But when they started making this cheese, they increased the goat population. So they're making a fresh goat yogurt. That while they're making the cheese, they add the goat yogurt to it. So it is a sheep's milk cheese with goat yogurt. That's why it's got that kind of tang.
Oh, it's my favorite.
Yeah, so I thought it'd be funny, you know, or cool to try with the flip, because flip's got a lot going on.
What's the flip about?
Well, that's what we were just trying.
Oh, that's the flip. Sorry, I forgot that was the name.
Yeah.
Awesome.
But so, Andy, you brought in your chef from Birraria alone. So I know Italy has a lot of chefs, but upstairs at Birraria, there's a separate chef.
Yeah, well, I mean, we all work together. Like we have every team is a big management team, big culinary team. But yeah, Preston is our head chef at Birraria.
Hey, Preston, how are you, man? Come on in.
Doing fantastic, man. How are you?
Good. So, what are some of the favorite dishes you like to pair with your Birraria cascales?
We do change our menu quite often, dealing with season and local farms and everything. So with these, like especially, when you're dealing with the time out, it's pretty fun to pretty much, we can go either A with some form of salad, or we can also do something really nice as far as with our chicken dish that we normally do, which is usually deals with a lot of herbs and a lot of vinaigrettes that we like to play with.
How do you make that chicken?
Well, we use these... The chicken itself is chicken thighs that we bring in from Cascoon Farms. It's an amazing, amazing farm that their chickens are just – they're so great we actually stopped brining our chickens because they were just – the flavor that they have and
the
texture, everything is just perfect. We've been using I started using those when I worked at Monzo, one of the restaurants downstairs, and – we, ever since then, like everything, chicken livers, chicken themselves, have really been trying to just promote that farm because he's just a wonderful man. So what we do with this right now is we're actually butter poaching shallots and apples, gala apples that we get from upstate. And then we have a mustard apple cider vinaigrette that we put on top
of it. Andy, you like that dish, don't you?
I do. Chicken,
soon as he mentioned it, you started smiling shaking.
I mean, the menu at Birria, as Preston
he's
said...
He's from the same part of Italy as
I know, it's
my
amazing.
Grandmother. It's crazy.
It's amazing. But no...
Scano and Abruzzo.
Yeah, the Birria menu, yeah, it does. It evolves and changes with the seasons, but we've had, our beer-braised pork shoulder and our chicken thighs on the menu since we started, as well as, like, the fried shiitake mushrooms. Those are just staples. That's another one that goes, I think, really nicely.
You guys have almost like a family there, don't you? A lot of the same guys worked in different jobs.
And, yeah, absolutely.
Like, we know Anthony Sasso at Casamona. I know there's different restaurants are related.
Yep, yeah.
With Batali Basnich. But
exactly.
Anthony Sasso, he's got a chance to grow that little restaurant. They just got 3 stars. And cheers to you, Anthony, man.
Absolutely.
You got a great team
there. Good job, chef.
So,
cool.
It's cool stuff. You like it, Preston? You like being there? And
Yeah, I love being at Birraria, especially. That's when I started at Monzo. We do more formal dining, and that was a great experience. But the going upstairs has been a very fun step in my career personally, because one, you get to really dive into the ingredients that Fred and Andy are dealing with, and the chefs are the whole chef's team is really work really hard to bring in all the ingredients that we do with, you know, for the whole restaurant together, and try to call out, you know, all the local farms, call out all the, you know, beers that we deal with, so that way, you know, everyone can be proud.
And I want to put you on the spot. What's one of your favorite beer and food pairings? Since we got all these food people.
Well, the one we just had, I could just go ahead and say that right now, at least for the day today. I mean, it's so delicious together. You know, the yeast of that beer, it's perfect. The herbs are perfect. You know, I think that's why I go to Italy a lot, besides to bother Andy, is just because, you know, there's always going to be something great. You know, it's always with that pairing aspect in mind. Nothing's done haphazardly or unintentionally. And I think you guys are doing a great job at also helping us convert people who would never think beer belongs on a table. And now they get to try these and go, oh, my goodness.
Definitely.
You know, it totally
works. And Jamie, with your we're on, what, your St. James double?
This is our double, yeah.
This goes really well with the cheeses as well. Mm-hmm. So tell us about the beer and how you made it. It's really good.
Our Belgian double is made, believe it or not, a lot like our wit beer.
Guys like beer. They just grabbed two of the bottles. The bottles are empty already, man. That's crazy. Well, pass it down for our studio guests.
Blushing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so tell us about this beer, man. It's a nice double.
It's our Belgian double that is very, again, like all of our beers, is very basic. We use one barley. It's a two-row barley that we use. We make our own candy sugar in-house. We use noble hops, again, from Kinsella Farms, and our yeast strain, and our local water, you know, that we... And even, to be frank, even the water that we use, the local water, we don't do anything to it. We just take out... We put it through a filter to take out the chlorine. We want those flavors. It's a great product.
We know John Kinsella pretty well.
Sure.
Kinsella Farms.
Yeah.
Great guy. And if you're doing nothing next Saturday, there's so many Beer Week events to pitch. At Chimney's number 43 on Saturday, February 27th, 1 o'clock, we're doing a thing called Hop Salon. We have John Kinsella from Kinsella Farms, John Siegel, whose family is Siegel Family Ranch, which created the Cascade Hops up in Pacific Northwest. If you want to come in, and any of our listeners, but
I'd be delighted.
If you want to come
and
sit and talk about what you're doing with Kinsella's hops.
Yeah, that would be very
cool.
Nice. With John, he's been a great supporter of us because the hops that we use, they're not very prolific. They don't grow as well as some of the other hops that he grows, but he keeps them there because we use them. And you know, it's that kind of relationship that we have with all of our purveyors. You know, he'd be better off growing a different hop there, ripping those out and putting something else in, but he does it because...
Well, you know, talk about New York City Beer Week. You know, for the last couple of years, through Kelly Taylor and the New York City Brewers Guild, Andy, you guys have pushed the smash beer concept, the state malt and state hops. Did Birria make one of those beers, or have you? Or will you?
No, we couldn't do it. Well, here, I'll let Fred.
Yeah, unfortunately, the last years we have not been able to do it. And, you know, the reasons for that are fairly simple. We're too small. We're sort of like the reverse kind of Goldilocks zone, you know?
What do you say, Goldilocks?
Goldilocks zone, you know, where normally Goldilocks zone, it's just right, you know. We're sort of just right to not do quite a few things. And it just didn't
fall. Did you say Goldilocks zone?
Goldilocks zone, yeah.
Do you know what that is, Ian?
Yeah, of course.
What is Goldilocks zone?
You know, this is too small. This is too big. This is just right. So he's saying it's almost just right.
Maybe it's a phrase I just coined. But unfortunately, the last 2 years, our brewing schedule didn't pan out where we could do the smash... smash beer. We're big fans of the smash beer concept. The guys at Big Alice, they won last year. Totally excited to try the offerings this coming year. So he's going to take home that Rupert's Cup. Hopefully things go right. About 10, 15 years from now.
I think there's 15 New York City breweries are doing it, including Finback, Big Alice, Kelso, Six Point, a lot of great breweries. So. And a few others have said they're not actually making the smash beer, but I think the effort was kind of in tandem with the state brewery license laws and, you know, the effort to encourage people to buy, you know, New York State hops and malts. And,
well, yeah,
It's a start, you know. Yeah. The more we talk about it, the more it happens, the more.
Yeah, especially as far as, like, New York State goes, that's what's been really great is there's more and more malt available that's grown, you know, in the state. So, I mean, Italy itself is a huge supporter of that. I mean, work with Don Lewis from Wild Hive Farms.
He just talked today.
Yeah, he just visited us today, actually, before.
Oh, go ahead.
Don Lewis just stopped by and was visiting with us today. But, you know, between him and his growers, we have about 300 to 400 acres of wheat that's grown just for Italy, New York, and Italy, Chicago. And actually, Preston uses his polenta in two different dishes on our menu, so
that's wonderful.
We're big supporters of of New York City. That sounds like New York State Green.
Abruzzo cuisine. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, it's very good for the winter, so it's been a good fit for our, you know, ski lodge, hearty food concept.
Can I ask a random beer question for you guys specifically? Is what is your reception to the cask beers for people who don't? I mean, we have cask beer at Taproom at Blind Tiger, and, you know, very savvy audience for the most part, but still it's that, excuse me, this beer is warm. What's going on here? Do you get a lot of that, or are people starting to understand it more?
We get a lot. And it's not a touchy subject, but it's very interesting because, like, I'm a fan of cask ale, but, you know, all in this room, we know what cask ale is. So we know what we're getting when we order a pint of it. Upstairs, you get a lot of that. Like, I'm sorry, this is warm, it's flat, et cetera, et cetera. It's kind of an education process, you know? And most people, like, ideally, what we would have is most people would come in, order one or two pints, and then maybe move on to a selection of one of our taps or one of our bottles. Because in addition to serving a lot of rare Italian beers, some of which we have here, one from Del Borgo, we like to focus on a lot of local New York City breweries as well. So
you sell other beers then?
Yeah, oh yeah, totally.
Oh, okay, no, yeah. I didn't know that.
Oh yeah,
that.
Their list rotates.
I thought it was just only beer.
Yeah, I mean, especially, Andy is spearheading the whole thing, obviously. Like, I always like to tell people that, you know, when they come up to Birria, they talk about the beer program, you got to mention Andy, because Andy is, he's got his hands
firmly. You're buying the beer too, Andy.
Yeah.
Damn, I didn't even know that, man.
Since about a year ago, I moved upstairs to work full time on the restaurant management team, but I've been working with the beer program ever since it started. But really, running it, you know, I guess for the last, you know, 2 or 3 years. But it's been really fun to find different things to go with, you know, that fit our program, seasonality.
Tell us the one you're pouring now, and then tell us one more that you brought.
Right. Well,
we're going to wrap it up.
This is one of my favorite beers in the world. It's from Beer Del Borgo. It's called Equilibrista.
I love you for this.
And so hi, much. Alfredo.
Thank you in advance. Yes.
What is it in? Which one was it?
The Equilibrista. It's one of my favorites as well.
Equilibrista? Yeah.
La Equilibrista.
Yeah.
So it is. Beer Del Borgo, being in Abruzzo, they're at the base of the Duquesa Mountains. So their base beer for a lot of the specialty beers they do is called Duquesa, which is a spelt Saison. So that's the base, and then they add Chianti grape must, and then they add champagne yeast, and then they're also
it's doing dueling breweries. Now Jamie's bringing out another St. James.
Just getting ready.
I love this.
I think this is one of the
best. Like 30 seconds, boys.
This is one of the best examples of a beer wine hybrid. So they also use the disgorgement method. This beer is actually from 2012, and it's on our menu. It's one of our favorites.
I think that's why I love Italian craft beer so much. It's very unique. You know,
it sure is. Andy, one more beer that we didn't open that we're going to open in 5 minutes. Quick.
This is called Ode Brunello. It's actually a collaboration between Del Ducato from Italy and Oxbow from Portland, Maine.
Nice. And then, Jamie, what's the last beer you're pouring?
Our quadruple.
All right, because this is all going on untapped now, so watch out, kids. And quadruple from St. James. And then our special guest, Josh, you came all the way from Georgia. Give him a mic quickly in like 2 seconds. Tell us the beers you brought from North Carolina and Georgia.
Yeah, so I brought up some Wicked Weed and some Wild Heaven.
Which ones?
Yeah.
Quick.
I honestly don't remember the Wicked Weed. They make a ton of good stuff, but I've got one bottle. And then from Wild Heaven, I brought their Dionysus.
Awesome. Thanks, man. Thanks for coming up. Josh is a listener, and he came up to hang out with us in New York City. So, hey, you know, we're talking about New York City Beer Week. One more time, Andy, what's the special discount for the opening Bash Cruise?
For us, you could use the code EATALY. Go on the New York City Brewers Guild website and go to Beer Week events and find the opening Bash Cruise.
Well, I'll tell you, there's so many things happening, even leading up to Beer Week. On Thursday, our producer, Justin Kennedy, with Travis from Folks Beer, they're going to be at Prime Meats out in Brooklyn on Thursday night, February 18th. There's a pig roast, and they have beers from Strong Rope, Other Half, Threes Brewing, and Folks Beer. Of course, our special event, New York City Brewers Choice, next week, February 24th, over 42 breweries. And that's it, man. Check out New York City Beer Week, man. What's the website again?
Search New York City Brewers Guild.
Brewers Guild. And also on Friday, tune in live, 12 o'clock this coming Friday. We're going to do a live kickoff on Heritage Radio Network. Isn't that cool?
Yeah, I'm excited for
that one. Kelly Taylor and I think Kyle from Big Alice and a couple other brewers. So, hey, we'll listen to the Beer Sessions Radio. And it's always a pleasure having you and our winter co-host. And been a great addition to the
show.
Very
pleasure.
We've got a lot of great shows coming up, too. Right?
Yeah.
And everybody else, say hello and goodbye.
Thank you, Jamie Adams. You can follow us at stjamesbrewery.com.
Yeah. This is Fred. Thanks a lot, guys. A lot of fun.
Yep. This is Andy from Birria and
Marcello Baggi.
Preston Williams from Birria. Pleasure.
Thanks for joining me on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jimmy Carboni. Thanks to our producers and to our new engineer, David. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time on Beer Sessions Radio. All right. Yeah. Woo. Woo. We did it. David, you did it.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.